You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market reminds you that every bite has a story. So whether it's a tomato, a muffin, or a T-bone steak, your conscious food choices can change the planet. Because at Whole Foods Market, every single purchase you make helps us support things like animal welfare, organic agriculture, equitable trade, and energy offsets. Let's think before we eat. Let's retake our plates. Welcome to Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Erica Wides, Chef Smarty Pants, your host. And welcome back. Well, I guess I should welcome myself back. It's been a couple weeks. First show of the new year. And this is episode number 70 of Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show. Number 70. That's a pretty major milestone. We're moving right along. So, happy anniversary, Why We Cook. So, you know, we're all back from the holidays. It's January. It's freezing cold. And I spent that whole week between Christmas and New Year's out in Portland, Oregon, where I go once or twice a year to visit my friends. And Portland is a great food city. I've talked about it here before. Unbelievably good place to eat and drink. However, it did rain every single day, which I guess is what you expect from the Pacific Northwest in the winter. It rained, and it rained a lot. And I was staying with my friends who are, they are somewhat sedentary people. I love them, but they don't really, they like to spend a lot of time sitting. So that doesn't work so well for me because I'm more like a dog. I need to be taken out and walked a couple times a day. And I also need to work out a few times a week on top of that. I got a lot of spilkus, if you know what that means. So, you know, sometimes I'm scratching at the door with a leash in my mouth because I need to go out. And that didn't really happen. We spent a lot of time sitting. And when we weren't sitting, we were out eating and drinking and going happy hours. So, and that's okay because we had some amazing food and some amazing beer. And I probably drank so much IPA that if you took blood from me now, they would probably find traces of hops in the blood. And Portland has these great happy hours. I think I talked about this last time I was out there, but they have these amazing happy hours where you can get mini versions of things on restaurant menus at happy hour for like $4 or $5, along with cocktails and beer at very reduced prices. So really, there's no reason to ever eat at a restaurant during like regular dining hours because you can eat all the same stuff at happy hour for like a quarter of the price. And so we would go to like three happy hours a night. So it was a happy time indeed. And so I've noticed, you know, eating here in New York and eating out there and stuff that, you know, being very sort of involved in the food world, that we're in a very meat-centric moment in the culinary timeline, which is okay because, you know, all the meat, at least, you know, that the enlightened chefs are serving is good meat. It's quality meat, sustainable farming, heritage breeds, you know, all that stuff. And that's great. And there's been a lot of rediscovery of artisanal charcuterie techniques and preservation and salumi and, you know, great. I love it. The more of that, the better. But I feel like we've gone a little pork mad lately. Like every single restaurant menu has some kind of pork belly on it, some kind of braised pork, some kind of pork this, pork that. It's like bacon everywhere. And that stuff's good, but you know what? I'm a little over it. I'm a little porked out. I'm over the top with the pork. I like it. It's delicious. But I think pork, you know, I think 2010 was the year of the pig. And we've set, I mean, it's fine. Like, we've set this bar, I think. We set the bar much higher lately for the quality of the meat that we eat and how it's produced. And I don't see us going back now. I don't think, you know, in a couple of years, people are going to be like, you know, the sausage that we have from Heritage Pork that we make by hand is pretty good, but I kind of miss that factory produced stuff. You know, I really miss my Jimmy Dean breakfast sausage. Let's ditch the handmade sausage business that we spent years making. I don't see people doing that. I think, you know, we've raised the bar and we're staying there, which is great. Major process. major progress in the process. And I also think what's good about that is because it's more expensive to raise and produce the high quality stuff, people are going to start appreciating quality over quantity. So hopefully we'll start eating less of better stuff, or less, but of higher quality. You know what I'm trying to say? So it's good. But anyway, so I think, you know, like most people, I sort of overindulged over the holidays. I'm overfed. I'm over beveraged. And so I'm trying to do like a little detox thing this week. Nothing crazy. No cleanse or veganism or, you know, I'm not an extremist. I'm not a lunatic. I'm just kind of cleaning it up a little bit. So I haven't had any alcohol since the day before New Year's Eve. I didn't even drink on New Year's Eve. My last drink was the day before New Year's Eve. I haven't had any since then. And I'm trying to eat a lot of vegetables, as many as I can, because basically for the last 2 weeks, I've hardly eaten any. Now, in those Portland happy hours, we did have some tasty little vegetables, but, you know, it was like 5 Brussels sprouts on a plate. And I'm used to eating like 5 cups of various vegetables a day. So I'm trying to kind of get myself back up to that level. Like normally I eat like a ton of fruit and vegetables in my normal life. So it's not, you know, like a big struggle for me to do it. It's just taking, you know, I have to get back into it. So this morning when I was eating breakfast, I was thinking about what to do my show about tonight. And I was eating a sweet potato, a baked sweet potato with an egg on it and some crumbled nori on top of it. And trust me, it sounds odd, but it's great. One of my favorite breakfasts. And so I was sitting there kind of eating that, thinking about what I was going to talk about tonight. And I was reading the I wasn't reading the Wall Street Journal online. I don't read the Wall Street Journal regularly, but I was reading another food-related page that had a link to this article from the Wall Street Journal. That was an article about this guy, George Ball, who is the chairman of the Burpee company. You know Burpee, the seed catalog company? Burpee, the seed catalog. And he was also the past president of the American Horticultural Society, George Ball of Burpee. It's kind of an unfortunate pairing of names. Anyway, George Ball has declared that 2011 is the year of the vegetable. Woo! That is my kind of year. Finally, vegetables will get their moment. They'll get the love and the respect that they deserve, that I have been talking about for the past 70 episodes on this show. Not all of the episodes, but many, about vegetables and how we should love and embrace them and give them all the credit that they are due. So thank you, Mr. Ball of Burpee. I am going to send you a little thank you note because we, the vegetable lovers of the world, are glad to have our moment, to have a year all to ourselves. So 2010, I think, was the year of the pig. 2011 is now the year of the vegetable. And, you know, we Americans, not myself, but Americans in general, we just don't eat our vegetables. They just don't. I do. Everybody in my family does. But listen to this fascinating statistic. According to a recent report by the CDC, just 26% of adults have 3 or more servings of vegetable a day. But in that 3 or more servings, they include things like a tomato slice or a lettuce leaf on a burger as a serving. So in other words, approximately 80% of U.S. adults scarcely eat any vegetables at all throughout their day. And if they're not eating them, think about their kids. Their kids certainly aren't, because kids learn by example, and the parents are feeding the kids. So think about that. 80% of Americans are not eating any vegetables, or very few, or counting that little sad piece of iceberg lettuce on their Big Mac as a vegetable serving. Now, a serving, the government defines servings of vegetables as like a quarter cup, I think, or a half a cup. It's really not that much, people. You're supposed to eat 9 a day, but that's easy. They say 9 a day. I don't really believe in them and their pyramid. I think that's a big load of crap. But still, I think you should eat as many as possible. So think about that, 80% of people. And it's not hard to believe, because just look around you. You travel outside of New York and you really see it. We have to take a quick break. Wow, time flies. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Tonight's show is sponsored by Whole Foods Market. Welcome back to Why We Cook, the Chef Smarty Pants radio show. I'm Erica Wides, your host, Chef Smarty Pants. And I'm talking tonight about vegetables. This year, 2011, is the year of the vegetable, according to this fellow, George Ball, who is the head of the Burpee Seed Company. And former head of the American Horticultural Society, he has decided it's the year of the vegetable. So I'm going along with it with him. I am saying that here in the world of Chef Smarty Pants, it is the year of the vegetable. And so in the previous segment, I was talking about how the CDC did this study, and 80% of U.S. adults hardly eat a single vegetable a day, scarcely any at all. And so last night I was watching the Antiques Roadshow because I love watching the Antiques Roadshow. Everybody loves that, right? And you try to guess the prices. It's fun. And I think it was from Miami or somewhere. And, you know, they always do this sort of pan of the people lined up to get in, and then you can sort of see the people in the background. And I turned to my husband on the couch and I said, if someone turned this show on and they had never, ever seen images of Americans before, they would think that 75% of Americans were massively obese from looking at that random sample at the Antiques Roadshow. Oh, wait a minute. 75% of us are massively obese. Huh. I guess it's accurate. But of course not you, my faithful Heritage Radio listeners, because you are the enlightened eaters and thinkers of America. That's why you're listening to a network like this and a show like this, because you are enlightened. And you probably have things like cold frames under which you're growing winter spinach right now in your garden, and greenhouses where you're getting next summer's tomato seedlings started, and you have compost buckets in your kitchen, and you have your little chicken coops in the backyard and your beehives on the roof, right? Isn't that what connects all of us Heritage Radio people in our little smug green universe? Yeah. Well, believe me, if anyone is going to actually have all of that stuff, it's us, the so-called enlightened food elite. And being one of these so-called enlightened food elite, I can tell you that, yeah, I have a little garden and I have a beehive, but you know what else I have? I have frozen spinach in my freezer, and I have canned tomatoes on my shelves, because I also live in reality in 2011, and I work full time, and I live in an apartment in a big city. So it's all about making choices, isn't it? But I still manage to stuff myself full of vegetable matter every week if I can. And, you know, not just frozen spinach and canned tomatoes. I still manage to do it, even though I'm a busy woman, although I am busy working with food all day, so I think I do have a leg up there. I have an advantage. But, you know, we're very lucky to live in a country where we have so much abundance of food. Unfortunately, so much of our abundance of food isn't actually food. It's not real food. So you just sort of have to look through all that garbage to find the real stuff out there, and you have to sort of get beyond that idea that cooking and preparing and eating actual food isn't all that hard or that much of a challenge. And vegetables, I think, are one of those things that people think are too hard to manage. It's too much of a challenge. You have to clean them. You have to cook them. Nobody knows what to do with them. They go bad. You know, we actually throw away 50% of the produce that we buy in this country. It winds up in the garbage. That's horrifying. And I do it too. I'm guilty. But only if it's really bad and moldy. So Sunday in New York Times, Mark Bittman, who I think is, you know, a genius and does these minimalist columns and is a great advocate for sustainable living. They actually did this whole series on sustainability, and Mark Bittman did a piece about food, and he did this really good article about three really basic cooking techniques. Like, for people who don't cook, who don't know how to cook, if you learn these three basic things, you can survive and you can cook for yourself. And so, you know, I don't want to like steal his work or anything. I'm not going to teach you these things, but you can read the article yourself. But what he talks about is how to do a basic stir fry, how to make a cabbage salad, and how to cook rice and lentils. And I mean, really, if you know how to do those three things, you can survive and eat very well, and you'll be very healthy because you're getting pretty much everything you need right there. So Mark Bittman summed up in those three little techniques what I have been talking about for the past 70 episodes, especially the ones where I do more talking about cooking than I do talking about food-related things. But I've given you a lot of instruction and a lot of recipes over the past year or so. And cooking vegetables just isn't that hard or that complicated or expensive. You just have to know how to do it, and you have to know what to buy. And it's what I'm always trying to get across to you and to my students where I teach, is that if you know a few basic techniques, then you can feed yourself. And these are techniques that people used to know. People used to grow up knowing how to cook, but now people don't know how to cook anymore. They really don't know the basics. It's kind of horrifying what people don't know. So anyway, back to this morning, I was reading that Wall Street Journal article about this being the year of the vegetable, and I was eating breakfast. And originally, I thought I was going to do this whole show about sweet potatoes, since I love them so much. And they really are the perfect winter food, I think. They're sweet and comforting and hot and in season now, and super nutritious, a lot of beta carotene in there. But sometimes I think that maybe doing an entire half hour show about a single vegetable is only fascinating to me and maybe not to you. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You can let me know if you think single topic shows are interesting and I should keep doing them. I used to do them more often, but I'm not so sure. Things that I find utterly fascinating, sometimes people kind of glaze over. So it's hard to say. But anyway, I was eating this sweet potato for breakfast. And I cooked it in the oven over the weekend. So what I did is, while we were in Portland, this is sort of roundabout, we went to visit the Bob's Red Mill store. You know Bob's Red Mill? They're a company that sells oatmeal and beans and flours and grains and all kinds of stuff like that. I'm sure you've seen their bags at Whole Foods or at health food stores, places like that. Love Bob's Red Mill. And they have this big store in Portland, and it's pretty great, and the stuff is cheaper, and, you know, I love that. So they had this bean soup mix, this like 21 bean soup mix, which my husband loves. So we bought like three gigantic bags of it and put it in our luggage and brought it home. So I was making bean soup over the weekend, and while the beans were cooking, I saw that I still had about six or eight sweet potatoes left from the case that I had bought for Thanksgiving. I bought a case of them, and then I still had a bunch left, but they keep. That's the beauty of root vegetables, is they keep. So I turned on the oven, I threw them all in there, and I baked them all in advance. Now that's something you can do. You can bake or cook things in advance and then eat them all week. That's how you make your life easier. So then this morning, we ate the bean soup over the weekend, and then this morning I took the sweet potato, I cut it open, I heated it up in the microwave. Yes, I have a microwave, and I have no problem using it. They're great for cooking vegetables. I know Alice Waters doesn't approve, but so what? I'm not Alice Waters. So I heated up the sweet potato, and then I broke an egg over it. I had these nice pastured eggs that I had gotten at the market, and I broke the egg over it, put it back in to cook it, just to get the egg to cook. And then I put crumbled nori over it. And a little turmeric, because I'm trying to eat more turmeric. And it was a perfect breakfast. It was delicious and salty and sweet and creamy. And the nori was a little crunchy and loaded me up with that fiber, beta carotene, some protein, a little fat. It was great. Kept me full for hours. And that was why I thought, oh, I'll do a whole show on sweet potatoes. And then I came across that thing about it being the year of the vegetable. And I thought, well, there are other vegetables you can eat for breakfast, too. And in a lot of cultures, people eat salads and vegetables for breakfast. But we don't. We're a very anti-morning vegetable culture, aren't we? I mean, even the Brits, if you have a classic English breakfast, you have grilled tomatoes, and beans with your eggs. Why, other than potatoes, do we not embrace the vegetable for breakfast? I don't understand. If you ever go to Israel, they eat this like chopped tomato and cucumber salad for breakfast. Why don't we eat vegetables for breakfast? Where did that all start to change that we abandoned that? Or maybe we never embraced it. I don't know. But then I was thinking of other things, like other vegetable type things that I like to eat in the morning. And believe it or not, one of them is cabbage. Yes, cabbage. I like to eat cabbage and eggs sometimes in the morning. So I had this head of cabbage in my fridge that I bought the week before Thanksgiving, and I still have it. And I've sort of been slowly hacking away at it and trying to use it up. And that's the beauty of winter vegetables, like those sweet potatoes. They tend to last a lot longer in storage than their delicate summer cousins, their wilting, leafy summer cousins. So I'm sure that that cabbage has suffered major nutrient loss, because it's been in my fridge now for almost 2 months. But it was still good. It wasn't moldy. And now it's probably just a big pile of fiber, but I'm thrifty. I'm not going to throw away that cabbage just because it's old. It wasn't moldy. It wasn't slimy. It was fine. My great-grandparents starved to death in Russia during the war, so I can't throw away a cabbage. But that's another show. That's another story. So anyway, you can take that cabbage and you can chop it up and put it in a big cast iron pan with some oil or butter or bacon fat and just sear it. Just cook the hell out of it and let it get really dark brown and really almost burnt, like deeply caramelized. And you turn the cabbage into this like sweet, delicious, filling, fiberific thing. And you know, cabbage is full of vitamin C, too. And in the winter, you can need your vitamin C. You can't eat grapefruits all the time. Well, you can. I do. But cabbage is really good for you. So then you take that seared, nice, golden cabbage, throw a couple eggs on top, and put it in the broiler or in the oven for a minute. Cook the eggs. And it's delicious. You have to trust me on this one. I know you may be going like, ew, cabbage in the morning. But it's really good, I gotta say. Now, maybe this isn't the best option if you work in like a little airless cubicle in an office. Maybe not such a good idea to eat cabbage in the morning, but if you just walk around a kitchen all day like I do that has really powerful ventilation, nobody's going to know the difference. You just walk away, right? So anyway, why are we not eating vegetables in the morning? I mean, there's got to be other things we can do with them. Why couldn't you eat like parsnip hash instead of potatoes? Yeah. Or like in Israel, I keep coming back to Israel, they eat something called shakshuka, which is like a tomato and pepper stew that has eggs cooked into it. Delicious. Why not? And actually in Portland, we went to this great restaurant called Tasty and Sons, which does breakfast tapas, which was very cool. They do little dishes of interesting little very flavorful stuff, like mini versions of their menu items, but sort of tailored toward breakfast. And one of the things we had was a little shakshuka with some eggs cooked in it. One was like a Burmese pork stew over sticky rice with an egg on top. I guess if you put an egg on top of anything, it officially makes it for breakfast. What else did we have? Oh, there was like a couscous thing with merguez. That was really good. That was probably one of the best meals we had out there, actually, was at Tasty and Sons. It was great. So this year, let's all try to embrace the year of the vegetable. Let's make it a big vegetable celebration. I'm already planning my garden for the spring. I'm psyched. I'm looking ahead. I already got some seeds from the Hudson Valley Seed Library. And I also had bought this heirloom variety winter squash for Thanksgiving that was so good that I saved the seeds. I washed them off and I let them dry out, and I'm going to grow those seeds in the garden this summer. Hopefully, I'll actually get the same squash from those seeds. But I'm looking ahead. I'm getting ready. But in the meantime, I think we should all embrace what we have around us right now. It's the year of the vegetable. let's try to like shift the balance on our plates so that maybe the protein isn't so much the focus. Or unless you have really good, really high quality, sustainably raised proteins, try to shift the balance. Try to get away from the mass produced. Try to get away from the package. Try to get away from the factory farming and see if you can load up on the vegetables. There's still a lot around. It may be January, but there's still a lot to work with out there. And, you know, you're living in the modern world. You can't eat the potatoes and the beets all year, or all winter, at least. So you're allowed to branch out a little bit. I'm not saying go out and buy strawberries and tomatoes, you know, but there's plenty of stuff out there that you can still eat. You can do it. Anyway, I forgot to mention that if you are a fan of the show, you can always find us on Facebook if you search for Why We Cook on Heritage Radio Network on Facebook. I would love to hear from you. Become a fan. Send me comments. Send me notes. You can also always leave comments on the Heritage Radio Network website for any show. And I do look for them and I do read them and I do really appreciate when people leave them. So please continue to do that if you haven't yet. We are just about out of time. So until then, go out, eat some vegetables, embrace it. This is the year of the vegetable, and we'll see you next week.